As most of you know, Stu was my dean. What you may not know is he has 3 daughters and 5 granddaughters. There's not a male among them except for Stu. So we know he likes women. The female empire strikes back, and we will be talking about quality. I will just quickly introduce the panel, although my joke, but it's not a joke. If you don't know this panel, you may be at the wrong conference. We have Christine Anderson, who's the Senior Vice President of Booz Allen and Hamilton. Christine Cassell, Dr. Cassell, who is not at the AAIM, but is now at the National Quality Forum as President and CEO. And Susan DeVore is President and CEO of Premier Healthcare Alliance. So I'm just going to set the stage and give you a little overview. I like to think perhaps that I am here representing the regional health improvement collaboratives, of which this year there are 3, often I'm the only one. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about how we use data and discovery to drive action and demonstration. So what we like to say is, if you use your data and give us a problem, we'll give you a solution to test. We sell solutions. So let's talk a little bit about how we've used some of the data that all of you have generated over the last few years. I'm a very weird, I represent a weird organization. We're a public charity, we're a grant-making organization, but 2 supporting organizations. Right now I'm mostly speaking to you as the Pittsburgh Regional Health Initiative, which is a regional quality collaborative. So one thing I hope I can convince you is, if you guys keep producing good data, we'll keep responding. So we started our collaborative in 1997. We had almost nothing to build on when we wanted to speak up and say, we have a seriously flawed healthcare system. I will remind Stuart that he said, at that time, we have the best healthcare system in the world, and why was I wasting my time on this issue? But he has rescinded that. So all we had at the time was Lucian Leaf's study, and I have thanked him many times. When you run a healthcare foundation and someone tells you that there's so many preventable in-hospital deaths that it's like 3 jumbo jets crashing every 2 days, you can't exactly ignore it. So what we decided to do was, I am a student of Stuart, so as you know, I've never been in a healthcare institution. We just talk about it. So we went to
Not true either.
We go out onto the floor and we look at what's going on the floor of a hospital, and I had been teaching management at Carnegie Mellon and I'd never seen anything like it. So those of you who work in hospitals know exactly what we saw. What you're looking at here, this mess, is 768 extra steps in one community hospital when one Ecotrin isn't delivered on time. So the good news for us is the nurses rose up and said, that's my life, that's my life. So we didn't have data. We made this up. We went to the business community in Pittsburgh and we said, and Harold Miller is here, and he was the business community then, and we did go to him. We said 40 cents of every dollar that is spent on health care buys no value at all. And just judging on what we'd observed, we said, you know, error, inefficiency, workarounds, unnecessary treatments. And only 60 cents of your dollar buys value. So start a regional quality collaborative. The interesting thing you're all going to ask is the IOM report, the Reuters report, the Society of Actuary reports. None of those reports were out. How did you know it was 40 cents? We just kept going up till the chief financial officers at the hospitals blinked. So turns out to be a good method. But keep crunching data. So Paul O'Neill and I, he was my partner, we started a regional collaborative based on this simple idea that quality improvement is the best way to contain costs. And I know all the other panels were very erudite, but we started with a simple message. And when that is your problem, you have a solution, right? I mean, high-performing organizations, complex, high-risk industries use basic lean techniques to wire themselves for high performance. So we brought those to healthcare. Everybody said it wouldn't work, and now, as you know, all the private consulting firms are doing it. So the one thing, I mean, everywhere you go, wherever there's a problem, and you can identify a problem, and you have baseline data, you apply basic quality improvement techniques, and you get improvement. You know, this isn't rocket science, as they say, but anyway, it was fun. We're having a good time, and we're running around everywhere in hospitals finding a problem that we can fix, and we have a decent solution. I know Beth McLynn is here, so I do want to thank her. Bob Wood came in last week to speak. Film bears showing your slide, but anyway. One thing that happened is more data kept rolling out. We got beyond Lucian Leap, and we had this very seminal study that said to us, only 55% of people with chronic disease get the care that's recommended. So we do thank you, Beth. You got us out of the hospital, away from hospital infections, and into the community and into primary care. We were using a lot of other people's data, and finally we complained so much that our state data center gave us their raw data, and we also started to notice that one in five people returned to the hospital within 30 days. So we needed some solutions for that. So I do have to thank Harold a lot. Harold not only got me out of the hospital and away from infection, but got to speak across the world. Harold decided that we should do a readmission reduction project, and he picked COPD, pulmonary disease. We do live in the Rust Belt, the area ain't always so great. And Harold had this hypothesis that it's the inhaler stupid. And lo and behold, it did turn out to be somewhat the inhaler stupid, and we had these dramatic results by teaching people how to use their inhalers. And so that started us on a roll. Well, if we can reduce readmissions for COPD, what else can you do? So more data rolls out. And you're all familiar with this, right? 5% of the population consumes 50% of our healthcare resources. So, you know, we went to the obvious research question. Who are those 5%? I mean, who are these people that are consuming all the resources? And it gave us a very rich agenda and another opportunity to test solutions. So who are they? I mean, they're people with behavioral health and substance use issues. They're people with a number of chronic conditions. People with HIV/AIDS, not for conditions related to HIV/AIDS, but for the same chronic conditions that other people are going in and out of the hospital. People at the end of life, people in skilled nursing. So we were learning a lot. It gives us a good agenda. It gives us a lot of things to test. It also gives us, which is really very beautiful, a one-page summary of everything we're about, which is bringing essential services and building system requirements into every level of care. The goal being, as we saw it, as it started to unfold to us, our goal is keeping people out of hospitals. So now we have a lot of programs going on. They're all geared. My grandchildren say, what do you do all day with all these people on your staff? And I say, we keep people out of hospitals. I think that's pretty fair. So as all of these projects roll out, that many of us are engaged in, not every regional collaborative has the same mix of programs, there are some common themes, all of them driven by data and the solutions we're testing when problems are presented. So these are some of the populations we've been able to focus on, and it's been a very exciting run. We also discovered using the data that COPD doesn't sort of sit out there alone. It's often connected to other comorbidities, so we needed to get perhaps a more sophisticated solution. So thanks to CMMI, we're building what we call primary care resource centers in 7 hospitals, which is taking units where we're not filling hospital beds and repurposing them into a kind of support center for primary care docs who practice in small practices and don't have all the wraparound services. So we move through, we keep working on behavioral health issues because obviously your data told us that if we use existing tools in primary care to identify substance use and depression problems and do brief interventions in primary care, often by medical assistance, that we could have dramatic results. So we thank all of you. We went from a little experiment and the data were promising, and ARC gave us a nice grant, 4 states. My friends from Minnesota are here. 4 states have been working together, and then CMMI gave us an even bigger grant. Cindy Magans here from the Institute for Clinical Systems Improvement, and she's overseeing a whole group of us now who are working again on bringing behavioral health screening into primary care to reduce hospitalizations for chronic disease. Skilled nursing, how could you ignore it? The data keep, you know, leading us there. When you see that the bulk, a huge number, a quarter of all of our discharges are to skilled nursing, we had to move into skilled nursing and keep people out of, from people who are in skilled nursing facilities from going into hospitals. So again, we thank CMMI. We're working with 19 skilled nursing facilities based on the data to see if we can reduce hospitalizations. HIV-positive patients, the data have been really knocking us over. 1 in 4 patients with HIV/AIDS are readmitted to the hospital. So it's a rather high number. And that gave us a readmission reduction project with HIV and a 50% reduction in 1 year. So we're pretty excited about that. We also know that half, this last year, 2010, the study came out, this wasn't ours, less than half of these people received treatment. And only 35% actually have achieved a low viral load. So we thank our state and HRSA for another grant. We can test a solution to that. We can train many of the providers in motivational behavior. So looking forward, it's an exciting time, right? There's going to be a ton of data out there. We're going to be wild with data. And these are, I think, data that are going to drive improvement. More and more of that data is going to be transparent, publicly reported, and then to top it all off, Todd Park, our best friend, has been running around liberating a lot of data, democratizing data. And this is a big deal for us. We received casino money, don't ask me, and we took the top floor of our building and turned it into a training center where quality improvement meets information technology. So our belief is that the frontier of quality improvement does depend on making meaningful analysis out of this enormous amount of data that is out there now and is going to be democratized. We are a qualified entity, so we're kind of excited. New staff, we hire new directions. One thing that's going to be very interesting, we're going to have an enormous amount of data. So will the volume and speed of that data, those data, and our ability to analyze it overwhelm our abilities to test solutions? I don't know, but our three speakers are going to lead us to some wisdom and truth, and I'm very excited to hear from.
Thank you. Thank you all for the chance to be with you today. I thought what I would do is start off by just talking a bit about some broad trends, because as we heard this morning, and you hear in every article you ever read about health reform, is that, you know, it's the measurement of our improvement in quality and safety that will be the litmus test of whether or not we're successful. So at least can't make it worse, ideally make it better, even as we reduce cost. But I think as you look at measurement and improvement, we still have a really long way to go. Measurements, it exists to support improvement, right? And so we should be thinking about whether or not our measurement enterprise is working by whether or not our improvement enterprise is working. And from 20 plus years in working in that area, I'd say we've got successes in pockets, but largely moving the needle has been quite difficult. And so what I wanted to talk a bit about was how might we think about changing the measurement and improvement industry, really? And then what are some trends that we have that we see today that might make a difference in helping us to get there? I think a lot of us have an idea where we'd like to go, but it's been a little bit difficult to get there. So, do you have answer? I guess. Okay. So I want to talk just about four. What I'm calling the digital revolution, the role of patients as contributors and users of quality information, expanding use of quality measures, and then harmonization. So what are we really talking about with the digital revolution? I think when we think about, getting out of paper, right, and trying to think about how we could have more information that exists to be used in successful ways, I kind of think of it as if I'm standing in this enormous pile of paper, right? The progress that we've made toward electronic health records and other forms of health IT, at first it was just sort of your eyeballs could come out and you got a sense of, maybe this is possible, we can get out of there. But I think we're actually to the point where my elbows were up, my hands were on the top of the paper, you can see how you could actually climb out. So we're not there in the sense that everything's digitized, but there's enough that exists in electrons rather than paper that would tell you that you really can see an endpoint. But the problem is our quality measurement enterprise and our quality improvement enterprise still act much like they did when we were in paper. And in fact, the conversations that we have around health IT, how health IT can improve quality, sort of sound the same as they did before. For instance, thinking more about batches and sprints of organizing entities to come up with some historical data and push it forward in some large coordinated effort to move something forward all at once. Thinking about data elements, what can we really use to measure quality versus kind of thinking more about data mining. Thinking more about, we almost mentally think about almost the same way we did standardizing a form. rather than really thinking about how do we deal with the inherent complexity of the data and of the